I'm excited to introduce you to my new series of the Leadership Effectiveness Podcast. And in this series, we will be discussing the topic of high-performing teams. We will be joined by several guests from across the leadership effectiveness spectrum who will help us explore the core elements of what makes a team high-performing. We will be discussing the importance of diversity within a team, the role of purpose, the role of goals in order to drive clarity, how to hire the right talent to scale to the next level of organizational growth and team effectiveness, as well as the importance of investing in wellness solutions that will boost your team's psychological health as a strategic performance enhancing priority. In today's episode, we welcome back Melody Moore. Melody is an experienced psychologist who has been working with teams for more than 20 years. She is the founder of Liberare Consulting, a firm that specializes in leadership development, diversity, equality, and inclusion, as well as coaching. Melody is also the author of the book, The Inclusive Team, How to Build and Develop Inclusive High-Performing Teams, and the host of the Secret Resume podcast. Welcome back to the Leadership Effectiveness podcast, Melody. I am delighted that you're able to join us today.
I'm very excited to be back. Thank you, Kate.
We're moving into the space of teams today, discussing what it takes to be a high-performing team. Mm-hmm. And I'm really interested, one, in this topic from the perspective of the work that I do with my clients, and two, from the perspective of really opening out the discussion and learning about all the different angles and opportunities that show up when we're looking at high performance in the team, because this is a very complex space. There is so much for us to consider when we're working with our clients and when we're focusing on taking them to their next level of effectiveness. So I am really looking forward to hearing your expert views and your experiences on this topic.
I'm very excited to be talking to you about it. It's something I've done a lot of work over a long time with teams, and I find it incredibly fascinating. And just when you were talking then, I was thinking, I had an image of, you know, we often talk about people like icebergs, and you only see the top of the iceberg. I often think of teams as being like a whole bunch of icebergs banging up against each other, but that banging up happens underneath the water and we don't know what's causing it.
I love that visual. I'm going to hold on to that visual as we work through today, because I think it will really help to bring some colour to the context of what's going on, and this sort of multifaceted environment of complexity, because it's the person, we're all complex, beautifully complex human beings, and our marketplace remains complex. So how do we bring all of this together and create these high performing teams? So from your perspective, you know, as you say, you work closely with leadership teams. You have done for, you know, I was going to say several years, but more than that. but let's come to now, you know, today. What are you seeing as the key challenges that teams, leadership teams, are faced with?
Well, I think do we talk about have things changed? Yes, things have they've changed and they've not changed, in that change is what we're all dealing with. I'm a big fan of the the VUCA acronym. I know other people like others, but you know, that sort of volatile, uncertain, complex and ambiguous. That's what people are facing, and my view would be it's the pace of change has speeded up. So everybody's always been facing complexity and change, but it's the pace, the the expectations, I think, of individuals are different, or maybe they're just more vocal about those expectations. You know, the whole hybrid virtual working just wasn't even a thing in the past. And that's something that teams and organizations, I think, are really struggling with. Mm. You know, post COVID, post pandemic, there's an awful lot of discussion about that at the moment. And organizations are, yeah, really, really struggling with that, about what to do, what's the best thing to do. So yeah, I think those are, you know, politics again, but that's not really a new thing, is really having an impact. You know, the geopolitical landscape, you know, digital, it's so cliched really in a way to say that, but you know, what's happening in the digital world is also playing out. So yeah, just so much complexity and change.
Change has always been there. I think if you were to speak to a leader who led an organization as a CEO 30 years ago, they would have had a number of challenges that were in that category of change. Change has always been there. It's sort of the byproduct of life. So I like that connection with the fact that if we take change as being a consistent, but what is might be different about the change? And I agree with you, it's the pace of which, mm-hmm. and maybe it's the pace of which we're expected to get on the bus and go with what is changing. We're sort of expected in some respects to have immediate ideas, or we're going to have the solution, or we're going to be aligned and moving forward on what it is that we're changing sort of instantaneously. So I love that connection on pace. With everything else that you talked about, because I actually think that is the reality. And then if you think about it from a team effectiveness, high performance, even just leader performing, we're sort of we're on a treadmill constantly.
And yeah. I think the whole idea of pace is extremely important. I started working 30 years ago. I realised this the other day when I was talking to a friend, and we'd met in 1994 in our first graduate jobs. And my observation of the differences over those 30 years, obviously digital is a huge, huge impact in terms of, we didn't have mobile phones. We didn't really have computers. You know, it was just a very different world. You could smoke in the office, let's be honest. And so when I say 94, that was my first proper job. I had worked quite a bit before that in various places, but my first real job, as I consider it. But the pace and the expectation of how fast things will get done, how long hours people will work, you know, it's almost like any activity is good, is the belief system. You know, doing something is better than doing nothing. I personally don't believe that. And I think one of the big challenges that teams face is knowing the right pace and knowing when to pause, when to slow down, when to reflect. And that applies to individuals equally as teams. The pace is, you know, God. I don't think it's the right thing all of the time. We need to be more mindful about pace.
As you're talking, I'm thinking about the work that I'm doing with teams, and I have this little tagline which seems to be very much aligned with your expert eye here, which is, teams need to pause. When mm-hmm. they pause, we need to percolate to then plan. So that yes. pace, there's no pace there. I mean, actually, then maybe what it should be is pause, percolate, plan, then the pace goes in. That's, you mm-hmm. know, back to that slowing down to speed up. Mm-hmm. We need the pace. Of course, businesses need to be pacey. We need to be agile with our pace to be able to make the decision first, for example, in order to be out there and seen as the trailblazer in the marketplace, but make them without any real pause and reflection. Can prove to be quite the problem. Okay, So we've got this pace going on in our ways of working. Change will always be there. Then let's think about how do teams navigate this? And maybe for me, it would be really helpful, and I think for our listeners as well, to let's start from the foundations. You know, what do you see as being core foundations that enable a team to be high performing? What do they need at the trunk of the tree, as it were?
Well, I'm going to mention won't be the first time, will be the first, but probably the first of many, the fact that I've just written a book on this called The Inclusive Team. And the subtitle is How to Build and Develop Inclusive High-Performing Teams. I don't think the two are separate. I think you need to think of them together. And within that, I have a model of team development. And then I think there are five main clusters. They are in my model, but five core elements that make up a really high-performing team. The first is trust. So trust between the team members, so they feel empowered, but also able to conflict with each other and disagree with each other. The second is alignment, and that's alignment around what direction they're going in, why they exist and where are they going, but also in terms of accountability, who's accountable for what, but also a shared accountability. And that is super important in a team, that people feel that they are all accountable and can hold each other accountable for the team goals and aims. My third area is around growth, and that's twofold again. Personal growth, personal development, so focusing on growing and developing as individuals, but also growing and developing the team, and continuous improvement. So there's kind of incremental changes. We often think, I think, in terms of change as being quite radical, but it doesn't have to be. Continuous improvement is just as important. Adaptability, so that's really around flexibility, understanding the environment, understanding all those changes we just talked about, knowing that you work in a system and understanding what's going on in your system, and then also being able to take that information and be innovative, as you said, Kate, that kind of first mover, getting out there and doing the radical thing ahead of your competitors. And then the final one is the one that most obviously speaks to diversity and inclusion, but actually is just, I believe inclusion's is throughout all of the previous ones I've talked about, but respect is my final one. And that's about having a diverse team and valuing that diversity and knowing what we mean by diversity, and then belonging. So making sure that people feel respected, feel that they belong, feel that they are included in the team. Those are my five, or actually it's 10 in total, core elements.
There's so much in that. And I really like it, the way I was sort of interpreting and the way I was following that, that in some respects, the first piece that you talked about, we come full circle in terms of then what the output or that final piece, and you talked about respect and belonging. So with respect to having trust, these trust-based foundations within a team, or to trust someone, we need to know who they are. We need to have a respect for who they are, make them feel as though they belong in this team, whether we're similar or different. I know I have this level of empathy and respect for who you are and what you bring. I'm not here to be mini-me's, as it were. Yes. I think there's so much in this model for teams to kind of get behind and get under the skin of. And it also talks that interconnection, which I spend a lot of time in when I'm working with teams, which is the personal. So, you know, let's have that one-to-one time. So I'm truly understanding who you are, member A of the team, and what you want, and what where you want to go, and what holds you back, and all of that intricacies of you as a person, and then how that connects to then us as a team, and how we grow, and how we're aligned, and how we share accountabilities, so that we are working in an innovative way to be able to make things happen. But I'm in this as an individual and I'm in this as a team. Mm-hmm. The two are important. We're not just the team, are we? We are the person as well within yes. that team.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, you kind of leaning towards something I think is really important there. I had this conversation just yesterday with someone about who's in a team. And I think that's a really important question, because we often have people in teams who, because of their title or their role or because they report to an individual, they may not be the right people in the team. And I think it's very common with people's position to be, you know, they're in a team, but you've got to have the right people in the team. And that's really for me where the, you know, some elements of diversity comes from. What is each individual bringing in a full breadth of the word diversity, not just in terms of the sort of usual, you know, ethnicity, gender, etc. But what's that person bringing? And is part of that is, are they bringing an interest in and a passion about what the team's trying to achieve? Because if they're not, are they really in the team, or should they really be in the team? Are there other people? So the sort of the makeup of the team, I think something that's often really overlooked, because we kind of go with roles and hierarchy too often.
Mm. Yeah, there's a bit of autopilot, isn't there, with regards to who's in the team. XYZ report to me. I am head of, therefore, this is my team. And I really like that moment of reflection that you're suggesting. And for me, it's also around getting that clarity. So how do we connect with where our organization is going, and that what's the responsibility of this team? Take the people out of it. And interestingly, I was saying something similar only a few days ago. Let's remove the people. They don't exist right now. And let's get crystal clear on what it is we want this team to do. Not just from accountabilities, from goals, etc., but what impact do we want them to have? You know, who are they? What's the identity? What's the purpose of this team? And then start to think about, well, what would be the characteristics, ways of working, and all that sort of diverse context that you're bringing into today's discussion that would make sure that what they are bringing takes us to what it is that our organization is striving for. Versus that, yeah, we are on an org chart. We are therefore together as a team. And a lot of the time, I'm sure you observe this, we come together as a team. We talk an awful lot, we're very busy. but what exactly are we impacting? Maybe that's for me quite a bit of a nugget point for reflection for teams.
Mm. And what I've often found is that teams are good at talking and discussing things. They're not necessarily good at moving to that implementation. And actually, when you as a facilitator start to try and have those conversations, they can get quite painful, because people don't want to get into the actual implementation, who owns it, who's responsible for it. You know, it's a really interesting thing as a team facilitator to try and encourage people to move to that, making it practical rather than just talking about it. And I think the other element that's important when we're talking about foundations is, I think too often we focus on the team leader and what is the responsibility of the team leader. And I think in a high performing team, everybody takes responsibility for the success of the team. So it's not just down to one person. The team members recognize that they have a role to play in creating the right culture, the right environment, and it's not just down to what the leader is saying and doing.
I love that, primarily because I don't see it enough, and I would wholeheartedly agree with you. There can be a lot of sort of eyes on authority, or that person, you know, holds the purse strings of everything that we do. And some of that is because the leader of the team leads in that way. But equally, it's encouraging, not just encouraging probably isn't the right word, but then it maybe peels back, what is the role of all leaders? You know, I'm in a team and I'm a leader, I'm in a leadership team, for example. So then what is my role in here? What is my voice? What's my identity? And how do I make sure that my ideas, my expectation of what great looks like for this team is heard? I'm not just waiting for the leader to voice that. I think maybe it brings us to how teams need to, how they can collaborate. And maybe it talks to, in your model, that system way of viewing a team in terms of how we bring it to an outcome in that, in our ways of working, from being a collaborative team, shared responsibilities, and then having that belongingness, trust, etc., so that we don't see conflict as a problem. We potentially mm-hmm. welcome it.
Yes, it's something.
What do you see in that space, Melody?
Absolutely. I think for me, if we want the team to really collaborate well, then they have to be okay with conflict, because the whole purpose of having people with a range of different experiences is to, you know, it's this idea of collective intelligence. I love the idea. I love the phrase collective intelligence. And collective intelligence to me is so interesting, because it's not necessarily the brightest group of people. It's not about the, average IQ of a team. It's the team's ability to work together, to collaborate, to actually come up with new and radical ideas through the way that they work together. So it's very, I can never get the phrase right. The sum is greater than, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
Yeah. I think that's I think you're on it.
The phrase. But I, you know, to me, that's about interpersonal relationships. It's about it comes back to what we were talking about before around alignment. So do we know what it is we are trying to achieve, and do we agree on that? Are we all kind of rowing in the same direction in terms, and at the same speed in terms of where we want to go? But then do we all also take a shared responsibility for achieving that? Or are there some people who are maybe working anti it, or being too individualistic and independent? Someone told me the other day about it's a philosophy, I think it's Netflix where they have it, of no brilliant jerks. Mm. And I love this idea, because I've worked with some brilliant jerks. But the idea being that just because you're individually brilliant doesn't mean that you belong there, and that you've got to be able to be a team player, you've got to be able to work within the team. And too often I think we see people who are personally individually motivated get rewarded, and they're actually having a detrimental effect on other members of the team and on the team achieving. So there's something for me about expectations of behaviors, and sometimes some strong management. I think you said earlier about being on the bus or off the bus. Mm. You know, sometimes it means that you take people out of a team. Sometimes it means you take people out of an organization because they're not demonstrating the behaviors that are, you know, their personal success is at the expense of others and of the team. So how you reward and recognize people, I think, is super important.
Yeah, and I think for me that then comes back to the members of the team having a voice in that discussion.
Yes.
And seeing that as being their role as a leadership team or member of that team, to hold up the mirror to each other, to voice what it is that isn't being done. But in order to do that, maybe back to the foundations and linking that to behaviours, we need to have alignment and an agreement on what is okay and what is not okay mm-hmm. in this team. And there's no right or wrong to that. In my experience, every team will roll in its own way, which actually is it's beautiful that you are figuring out what works for us as a team. But unless we have it at our foundations, this conversation around how we hold each other to account, how we are courageous and say this isn't the right fit, maybe, you know, this member of the team would possibly be better off elsewhere. We need a bar to work towards, sort of, again, the foundation of what is okay and what isn't okay.
Yeah.
How do teams do that, though? What's been your experience on how they create that level of transparency, maybe?
Well, I think, there's two. I've had, again, a conversation I had yesterday with someone about an away day. You know, there's two things they were wanting to achieve. One is the task of what they were wanting, you know, they wanted to talk about redefining their strategy to some degree, or certainly how they're going to achieve their goals. So there was a task element of what is it that we as a team do, and doing the doing. What teams don't focus enough on is the process of being a team. So one of the key elements, and that was what she was talking to me about, was coming to do some of the process stuff, because teams need to spend time understanding how they work together. I think of it's like a marriage, and any other relationship that you have. You need to focus on the relationship and how you're working together, as well as talking about, you know, who's taking the kids to school tomorrow morning. It's the same principle, really. You need to give some focus to that. So, and I think quite often when people get together for team development, they tend to focus on the relationship building aspects too much. And I'm not saying they're not important. They're incredibly important. Getting to know each other, lots of use of diagnostics, that kind of thing. Very helpful, very useful to understand how each other works. But I think there's another step, which is about understanding the team processes. So what are the team norms? How often do you meet? You know, that sort of meeting cadence. What are the meetings for? All of that stuff people find not always the most interesting, but it's so important. I think if it's like the skeleton of the team, and if the skeleton's not there, it's all a bit, you know, if you think of your body have no skeleton, it just be a bit wobbly. And yeah. I think that's what teams who don't focus on those things are like. There's too many assumptions made.
Yeah.
Everybody assumes that they are aligned about these things, and everybody assumes that everybody else thinks like them about this stuff. And when we work with teams, Kate, you know this as much as I do, they really don't. They've all got different opinions.
Back to the iceberg, Melody.
Yes.
That iceberg.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So being really clear about this, having discussions about behaviors, norms, and keep revisiting them as well. They're not a once and done, which is true for lots of places. You know, it was actually a piece of feedback a good friend of mine gave me about when I was writing the book. She was reviewing some of it, and she said, you know, put some more in there about sustaining the effort, because I'd put a load of exercises in there. And she was like, well, what happens when they've done the exercise once? You know, so I think she was right. It's how do you sustain? How do you keep something live?
And maybe that brings us back to how we started, which is, it's a given. We are all leading in a change type environment, and that's not going to change. We're doing that at pace. So therefore, within the team, these ways of working need to be nimble. They need to be agile. We need to come back and pause and reflect and say, this worked for us really well over the last 6 months. But you know what? We're at a different phase now of our growth trajectory, for example. And therefore, how we come together as a team and what it is that we're spending our time on, what it is that we're prioritizing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how it is that we're going to hold each other to account, all of that needs to be discussed again, because the goalposts are different. And I think a lot of teams miss that trick because, to your point, it's a granular exercise where we're now so used to being pacey. We feel good actually in pacey. It's got the energy. We feel like we're moving forward. It aligns with our achievement motive. So this granular work can be like, oh. And I observe the expressions in the room are sort of, but then when they start to connect it to business results and you start to bring it into performance, the light bulb comes back on. Like, I get now, I get why you're asking us to have this conversation. And in fact, thank you for making sure we had it, because we wouldn't have, we would have just gone straight to what are we going to do next?
Yeah. It's a bit like at the end of leadership programs, you know, we get people's action plan and people don't want to do that. But what research shows when you're looking at change, you're looking at personal change, any other kind of change, you know, you could take it to wanting to give up smoking or lose some weight, whatever, and any kind of change. There's an element of needing to plan and organize to ensure that you are successful. So if you want to lose weight, then not having any chocolate biscuits in the house might be part of your solution. You know, you want to make it as easy as possible for you to achieve your aims. I feel exactly the same with teams. You've got to do that planning and thinking things through, because if you don't, you're going to end up back where you started, really, and you won't be as effective. It's like you said earlier on, slow down to speed up.
And some great thought leader said that way before I did, so I will not take the credit for it, but I use it. I use it a lot with teams because I think it sums up exactly what it is that we need them to do, the responsibility of that team. You know, I spend a lot of time really emphasizing the responsibility that a team holds and on everyone, and not from an authority point of view, but the impact the decisions a leadership team makes cascades across all the organization. It impacts society, it impacts towns, it impacts the corner shop. It really is something that I think leaders can forget, because we get a bit desensitized as well in the work that we're doing, because we're around these sort of decisions that we're making all the time. But that's maybe the sort of personal purpose element for me, and why I spend a lot of time working with leadership teams, why I want to. Maybe bring us back to your book, Melody, because I'd love to understand a little bit more as to why you decided to go down the route of this book. You know, what was going on for you that felt the need that organizations and leaders needed to understand the inclusive team?
Well, it came from a couple of areas, really. One is having done a lot of teamwork over my career and been in many teams as well, you know, both as a team leader and as a team member. And I was aware of the fact that the team models that I knew had a huge, great gap around diversity and inclusion. And that's partly because, you know, a lot of team models have been around a long time, and diversity and inclusion it's not new, but it's certainly come much more into the organizational consciousness, I would say, over the last 5-10 years or so. And so it was a recognition of a sort of maybe some gaps in existing team models, but also I do a lot of work in the diversity and inclusion world and space, and my observation was we were focusing too much on individuals. Now, that isn't to say that they're not important. So leaders are incredibly important, and inclusive leadership is incredibly important. But we focus on that, and we focus on individuals, unconscious bias training, conscious inclusion, whatever we call it, but it focuses on individuals and their role. But nobody was talking about how do we create a more inclusive organization at a team level where the whole team takes responsibility. And so the book is written in an extremely practical way about how do you build inclusion you know, one team at a time. You know, I talk in there about, you know, how do you eat an elephant one teaspoon at a time? And I feel the same. Building an inclusive organization's a huge, huge effort. But if we can maybe get lots of teams doing it at a team level, we can kind of get that groundswell and create a movement. So that was my thinking, was it's about creating a more inclusive environment, but it's also about creating a more high performing environment, because in my mind, diversity and inclusion is not a separate thing. It's just part of being a high performing organization. So let's bring the two together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they aren't separate things. And if you then add the whole market dynamics and how it is that we are, or what our buying behaviours are, for example, or what our range is in terms of globalisation, etc., it's all leaning towards the need to understand, appreciate, welcome, encourage different views, different perspectives, different walks of life. We mm-hmm. are a smaller world. We've made it that way through pioneering science. Mm-hmm. That has been the plan, surely. That's what it was all for. Now we need to make it work. Back to the behaviour, back to the how. So thank you. Thank you for bringing a little bit of extra colour in terms of what the sort of impact this book can have. And I really like that comment around the movement that you mentioned, because that's a movement that has pace and it will then have an opportunity for individuals who need the support to feel heard and seen. So I can't wait to read more of it. So thank you very much for bringing it to us. Before I wrap us up, and thank you for all of the expert tips and guidelines you've shared with us so far, I'm wondering, if you were somebody now leading their team, listening to our conversation, and we're talking at the start of 2024, you know, we're in that early stages of the year, you're reflecting back, you're looking at what the team needs to do this year, what would be the one thing in all of this that you would say, start here, because that's going to have a ripple effect maybe into everything else that we've talked about today?
I would start with alignment. I would start with making sure that people are aligned about what you're trying to achieve, that they're taking a shared they have a shared sense of responsibility for achieving that. That's where I would start, because I think that's where the biggest assumptions are made that prove not to be true. So making sure, spending some time reflecting with the team, what's your purpose? How do you all fit into that? What's your personal purpose? You know, and getting that sense of team. We are a team. And particularly if you've got a diverse team, that can be quite hard. You know, one thing we don't talk about is how hard it can be to work in a diverse team. But actually, you can create a good sense of team and in-group by getting people aligned around a purpose.
Thank you. Thank you very much for your time, sharing your wisdom, and we will also add a link to this podcast to make sure that our listeners can access your book easily, The Inclusive Team, which just Brilliant. Launched. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thanks, Kate.
Before we conclude this episode, I have some exciting news to share with you. At Newland Rock, we have developed a team effectiveness health check tool that you can now access by visiting newlandrock.com/team health check. We understand that the success of your leadership team is crucial to achieving your organization's strategic goals, and therefore we want to provide our clients with a tool that can help them identify ways to enhance their team's performance. Once you complete the team health check, you will receive immediate insights and recommendations. These insights will help you understand how your team is performing now and identify ways to help you improve their performance for the future, all aligned to our signature program, where we work with high-performing teams across the globe. I hope you find this tool helpful, and I'm looking forward to sharing your results with you.